Hello there, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Update. I'm Brandon Julian, of course, and I'm thrilled that you could be with us today. Quick look at the forecast. You know, despite the overly cloudy skies and the somewhat rainy conditions we've had for a little while, it looks like Friday is going to be the best pick of the week, but it's going to be short-lived, as possibly rainy conditions are going to be back for your weekend. That will be 9 weekends out of the last 11 that have had some sort of rain in it. Just unbelievable. Now that we have the whole weather situation figured out, let's talk about what's going to be in the headlines on the update this Wednesday. There's a possible changing of the guard over at New York City Transit. Richard Davey, the president, is reportedly fleeing the Big Apple after barely lasting 2 years in this job, which sources at the New York Post say have left him frustrated. We'll explain what all that means. The 4th of July fireworks, of course, they've been a staple on the East Side for more than a decade, after officials said that more people could see them on the East Side. But as they prepare to move to the West Side for this year, not everyone on the East Side is sad to see the fireworks go. The Knicks, they're one win away from the Eastern Conference Finals, as Jalen Brunson dropped 44 on the Pacers for a 3-2 series lead. In Florida, the Highway Patrol, they arrested the driver of that pickup truck that crashed into a farm worker bus that killed 8. On the charges of driving under the influence and manslaughter. And this ride apparently was too cool to function. The world's tallest and fastest triple-launch roller coaster was forced to shut down indefinitely, just days after its grand opening. So, folks, there truly is a lot to talk about, and whether you're at home or you're on the go, we make sure we have you covered. This is The Update, Wednesday, May the 15th, 2024. Every city has a story. And in New York City, there just happens to be a lot of them. From the Tommy Lynn stage, this is The Update with Brandon Julian. A 3-time winner of the Kingsborough Community College Gold Student Service Award. It's everything that you need to know, because anything can happen in New York. The big story today, everyone, is that, you know, if you're a fan of the MTA, you know, we talk about it a lot on this program. Because, you know, the MTA in the past used to be busier than ever. Of course, the bad news was for you and also for the MTA. All of the added volume and added to delays, cancellations, missed connections. And when things really wanted to go wrong for the MTA, it would cause just general turmoil. Well, now that turmoil might cause the head of the transit system, Richard Davey, to flee. Because apparently sources at the New York Post say that this job has left him frustrated. Davey, the former Massachusetts Secretary of Transportation from 2011 to 2014, is apparently headed back to the Bay State to take over Massport, which runs the airports and the ports in the state of Massachusetts. According to the former State House Bureau Chief of the Boston Globe, Frank Phillips, on X, formerly known as Twitter, sources of knowledge, with knowledge of the situation, have also now confirmed the planned move, according to Gothamist, they reported yesterday. TWU President John Samuelson, who represents the transit workforce and holds a seat on the governing MTA board, said to Gothamist, quote, "My trade union counterparts in Boston confirmed to me that Davey is just waiting on an approval vote from the Massport board." A source said that Davey has complained about being frustrated in his current position, which has included helping to oversee the city's congestion pricing plan, which is scheduled to start in June and combat the spike, of course, in violent subway crime. Now, on to some of the other news of this Wednesday. And a curator at the American Museum of Natural History was detained, apparently, in Istanbul after allegedly attempting to smuggle 1,500 spiders, tarantulas, and scorpion samples out of the country. Lorenzo Prendini, an expert on arachnids at the museum, was stopped by police at the Istanbul airport Monday, trying to bring endemic poisonous species out of the country, according to Turkish news reports. Prendini was detained after authorities found 88 plastic tube bottles containing liquids and 58 clip-on bags with approximately 1,500 scorpions, tarantulas, and spiders endemic to Turkey inside of his luggage, according to state-run Anadolu News Agency. According to the local report, some of the scorpion venom that Prendini had in his bag can be used to make medicine, which has a market value of around $10 million. Governor Hochul is going to be on the move this week. She is heading overseas on taxpayer money to attend climate and business events in Italy and Ireland. This trip, the second overseas trip for the governor since she became it in August of 2021, comes on the heels of Mayor Adams' visit to Vatican City in Rome last week when he was a guest of a papal foundation. The first leg of Hochul's estate-funded trip will involve a 15-minute address tomorrow at the Vatican about building climate resilience in the Empire State, according to Politico. Afterwards, she'll be part of an audience with Pope Francis and other foreign leaders at the Conference on Climate Change at the Pontifical Academies of Science and Social Science there. She'll then, Governor Hochul, travel to Ireland, where she is scheduled to meet with senior government officials before delivering the keynote address at an economic conference in Killarney. Her office, though, would not say yesterday how much this trip would cost, only telling the New York Post, quote, "Governor Hochul is traveling on official business representing the state of New York in her official capacity as governor, and therefore state funds will be used for any official business. Any costs outside the normal reimbursable business expenses will be paid for by the governor's own personal funds." Meanwhile, over at the trial of Senator Bob Menendez, the judge in this case is still struggling to find impartial jurors as he rattled off senators that could either be named or even called to testify in this case, including Lindsey Graham and fellow senator from Jersey, Cory Booker. Roughly a dozen prospective jurors told federal judge Sidney Stein that they couldn't be impartial for various reasons, with some saying they already knew too much about the case to be able to leave their opinions at the door. One potential panelist said, quote, "I'm a news junkie, and I've learned about the case already significantly. I knew it was Bob Menendez the second I walked in." Judge Stein fired back, saying, as did many people. The judge asked the man if he could still be fair and consider only the evidence at trial in spite of his prior knowledge about the case, which the man said that he thought he could. In other news, in the fast track to summer, we're talking about the July 4th fireworks, of course, which has a change of scenery for the first time in over a decade. Because the fireworks, they're going to move back to the Hudson River. And it has the sparks flying on both sides of Manhattan. The 4th of July fireworks show, of course, was moved to the East River nearly a decade ago, with officials saying that more New Yorkers could see them. But as that chapter in this war, the turf war, comes to a close, not everybody on the East Side is sad to see the fireworks go. 34-year-old Alex H., who's lived in Long Island City for 5 years and has had enough of the tourists mobbing her front row neighborhood, said, quote, "Selfishly, as a resident, it's kind of nice not to have the fireworks this year. I have to walk around with a copy of my lease on my phone that day just to get around." She was complaining about the hassle of having to prove her residence at traffic-stemming NYPD barricades throughout the day. And finally, despite the protests, folks, the defiant organizers of the city's annual Salute to Israel parade announced yesterday that the march will still go on despite the recent violent local anti-Semitic demonstrations. The traditional celebration of the Jewish state is scheduled to take over Fifth Avenue on June 2nd and is expected to bring thousands of supporters to Manhattan, along with hundreds of cops, of course, during a months-long spike in anti-Semitism throughout the five boroughs as the war in the Middle East continues to rage on. One cop did tell the New York Post yesterday, quote, "There is no way they would not have the parade. The city and the organizers would not give in to the protesters. There will be double a police detail, that is, the usual cops that line the parade route, and another detail to deal with the protesters." Mark Traeger, the executive director of the Jewish Community Relations Council, which sponsors this event, said, quote, "We are dotting every I and every T in terms of safety." Anyway, folks, hope you're enjoying the show so far. We're going to step aside momentarily, but don't go anywhere because we still have a lot more stuff coming up after a couple of messages. We have a few important messages to tell you from the MTA. We're going to talk some sports and how the Knicks are one win away from the Eastern Conference Finals. They have a 3-2 lead in their series now after Jalen Brunson dropped 44 on the Pacers. We're going to talk together the latest national news. In Florida, the Highway Patrol, they've arrested the driver of that vehicle that crashed into that farm worker bus that killed 8, charging him with driving under the influence and also manslaughter. And at the end of the broadcast today, this is one ride that I don't think a lot of people would ever truly want to go on. The world's tallest and fastest triple launch roller coaster was forced to shut down indefinitely just days after the grand opening. And we'll tell you why. So we're going to talk about all this and a lot more too, of course, folks, when the update with Brandon Julian returns in just a moment. Brandon Julian. Honestly, people, I would do anything for my wife, Tommy, but I know I'm not the best romantic person out there. There are more people that are more romantic than I am. Did you know, folks, that a long, long time ago, Prince Edward abdicated his right to the English throne to the woman he loved? Isn't that unbelievable? He had to choose between the woman he loved or being King of England. And that idiot chose the girl. Now, I'm sure, folks, that it was the right moment at that exact moment in time, and I'm happily in a relationship with my wife. But even in the best of moments, each person in a relationship has had a time where they thought, I've made an enormous mistake. But you know what, folks? I bet you never thought I could have been King of England. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian, I've been the host of this show now for 7 years. That's right, 7 years. Now, if you had a job for 7 years, or if you were in a relationship or married to someone like I am with my wife for 7 years, you would think at this point you would know that person inside and out, backwards and forwards, wouldn't you? No, but no, not my wife. She's full of surprises. I can honestly sit here in this desk at this studio and say that after nearly 7 years of being with my wife, I know no more about her than the day that I got into a relationship with her. She's full of surprises. She's like Dora, or not Dora, Swiper. He's very sneaky like that. This is the Update with Brandon and Julia, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies, it's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Beginning May 6th. Through the first half of 2025. Flushing-bound 7 trains are skipping 82nd Street, Jackson Heights, and 111th Street because of station improvements. For nearby service, use a Manhattan-bound 7 train, or use the Q32 or Q48 buses on days and evenings along Roosevelt Avenue. Through the summer of 2024, Manhattan-bound J and Z trains are skipping 75th Street, Elders Lane, and Woodhaven Boulevard because of station improvements. For nearby service, use the Q56 bus making stops along Jamaica Avenue. The New York City Police Department would like to remind you to keep your belongings in sight and to stay aware of your surroundings. If you see something suspicious in the station or on the train, tell a police officer or an MTA employee. MTA crews are here to help us get around. Let's treat them with respect. Assaulting a New York City Transit employee is a felony, punishable by up to 7 years in prison. The fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.90, with the exception of the BX18A, BX18B, B60, M116, Q4, Q4 Limited, S46, and S96 Limited. Transfers on all other lines must be requested upon payment of the cash fare. For the S79 Select Bus Service, pay your fare on board the bus. For all other Select Bus Service routes, pay at the kiosk outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip for possible inspection. The fare on express buses is $7. Coins are not accepted as a payment on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
It seems that when you watch the Mets these days, you literally have to watch the endings of these games with your hands in between your eyes. Because the games have almost been that bad to watch. Yesterday, I told you about how Edwin Diaz blew the save in the ninth, and then the Mets went on to lose in the extra innings. Well, now, the starting pitching for the Phillies really carried the load for them. It's something you don't often see these days. And that's a complete game shutout. So, over to the great big ballpark in Queens, known as Citi Field, we go now, where the Mets and Phillies are wrapping up the Mets' home portion of the schedule. You should know, by the way, this home-and-home schedule that they're doing, two games in New York, two games in Philadelphia, is to accommodate the two-game set that the Mets and Phillies will have in London in a couple of weeks' time from now. Anyway, Aaron Nola, he pitched a four-hit shutout for the fourth shutout of his career. And the Phillies beat the slumping Mets 4-0 to finish the Mets home sweep. Philly manager Rob Thompson said, quote, that he was fantastic. I mean, he had everything going. Located his fastball, his curveball was really good. He changed speeds, got soft contact. He was really efficient. The Phillies, they scored twice in the third against Mets starter Jose Buteau on a hit-by-pitch and a bases-loaded walk. Walks just continue to kill the Mets pitching staff. Bryson Stott had a run-scoring single in the fifth, and Alec Bohm doubled home a run to finish with two RBIs. Nola did the rest, throwing 73 of his 109 pitches for strikes in his sixth career complete game, and his first since he had a five-hit shutout against the Reds in August of 2022. He struck out eight and didn't walk a batter. After giving up a bloop double and a single in the ninth, Nola retired Francisco Lindor on a routine fly ball with runners at the corners to end it. The Phillies' six shutouts tied them with the Guardians and the Red Sox for the most in the majors this year. Over in Minneapolis, at one of the Yankees' many stomping grounds at Target Field, Yanks and the Twins continuing their series. Giancarlo Stanton, he homered. Carlos Rodon overcame a shaky start to work six strong innings as they beat the Twins 5-1. Alex Verdugo had a two-run double for the Yanks, which have won 9 of their last 12. They continue to thrive in Minnesota, as I mentioned earlier, with their 29-15 all-time at Target Field. And they have the highest winning percentage out of anybody in that ballpark. Rodon, he allowed a leadoff home into Ryan Jeffers in the bottom of the first and surrendered 3 hits in the frame. He gave up 6 hits overall, didn't walk a batter, finishing with 6 strikeouts, before being lifted following a leadoff single by Carlos Santana in the 7th. The 31-year left-hander had retired 11 in a row before Santana's hit. Ian Hamilton relieved Rodon and allowed a pinch-hit single to Edward Julian, but came back to strand both of those runners. He pitched 2 innings, and then Clay Holmes worked a perfect ninth. Chris Paddock, the starter for Minnesota, who had won 3 in a row, surrendered 12 hits. That ties a career high, and 5 runs in 5 innings of work. Minnesota, though, they're still looking pretty good. They only lost for the 4th time in their last 21 games. From the diamond, we go over to the hardwood. Knicks and the Pacers. Game 5 of the Eastern Conference semifinals. It's been a chippy back and forth between the Knicks and Pacers. Knicks have done good at home. Pacers have done good in Indiana. But the Knicks, they reestablished control in this series. Jalen Brunson rediscovered his stardom and also apparently the health in his right foot. He dropped 44 on the Pacers in their 121-91 win in Game 5 for a 3-2 series lead. A win in Minneapolis Friday will send the Knicks to their first conference final since 2000. And they could also win with a win in Game 7 at MSG Sunday, if we need to get that far. They've already captured more playoff wins this year than in any of the previous 23 Knicks seasons overall. That's just absolutely incredible. The latest on the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse, the Dolly cargo ship apparently experienced electrical blackouts about 10 hours before leaving the port of Baltimore and slamming into the bridge, according to investigators. They're providing the most detailed account yet of the tragedy. And the sun produced its biggest solar flare in about two decades, just days after those severe solar storms pummeled the Earth and created dazzling northern lights in the most unaccustomed of places. Gonna talk about this, folks, because national news. It's next for us around here, of course, when the update of Brandon Julian continues. But first, ladies and gentlemen, we do have to inform you about the following. Where has the time gone? I really hope that I didn't write that line. Did I write that line? Well, maybe I actually did. We're now celebrating 7 years of this program. 7 long news-filled years. My producers, who look for any excuse to hold a celebration, are having one every weekend as we go into the update archives to play you an episode from throughout the many years of this program. And then on the weekends, also once a month, we'll play an episode from my list of personal favorites throughout the many years of this program, as I explain to you why that particular episode is one of my favorites. So every weekend, dig into the update archives with us to remember where you were when this particular episode aired. And then once a month, the list of my favorite episodes as well. Keep listening on the weekends because it'll be a party that you will never forget. Unless, of course, you can't actually remember it from, well, you know, the night before. You know, as I was growing up, my mother told me to always wipe my feet on the mat before I go into the studio. Well, Mom, this one's for you. There's a lot more show to stick around and listen to as the update of Brandon Julian. We'll be right back after these messages.
Brandon Julian. You know, Valentine's Day coming up, we surprise the ones we love with those big red hearts, you know, filled with the gamble chocolate. Think about it. Has anybody ever eaten any chocolate of those with any confidence? You're like, oh, this is either going to be really good or horribly nasty. Guess I'm just big enough to find out. Oh, I got the one filled with toothpaste. Gonna take another 9 of those to get rid of that flavor. You know, there's a big red heart filled with the gamble chocolate, otherwise there's the tiny heart-shaped antacids. I know I make you nauseous. Here's a Tums with Hug Me written on it. You know, maybe that'll help. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
it's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
From New York, home of your NCAA men's champion UConn Huskies. This is the Update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you're listening to podcasts. Welcome back to the Update, Brandon Julian, on a Wednesday, everyone. Another hump day in the month of May for us around here. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. You know, folks, even though it's about to be summer, and it's, you know, going to get all hot and humid, and we're going to complain about how hot and humid it's going to be, most people are going to look forward now to the winter time when it's all hot and humid. You know, while the wintertime and Christmas, it does have a special place in my heart, because, you know, being born the day before Christmas, all that jazz. My partner, Tommy, of course, she likes Halloween, so it kind of makes for a very interesting rivalry we have between the two of us, and usually it is very playful. If you must know, the tree lighting dates for this year apparently have been chosen. That's right, they plan this stuff out, like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and the July 4th fireworks. So for this year, the Bryant Park tree lighting is going to be on December 3rd, followed by the Rockefeller Center tree the next day on December 4th. It's a day, of course, that I am eagerly anticipating, and I know for sure that I cannot wait on it. But enough about the future. Let's jump back to the present day and talk about what's talked together, the latest national news. We're going to begin down in Ocala in Florida, where the Florida Highway Patrol, they've arrested the driver of that pickup truck that crashed into a farm worker bus yesterday that killed 8 on the charges of driving under the influence and manslaughter. 41-year-old Brian McLean Howard faces 8 counts of DUI manslaughter, according to the FHP in a statement. No further details were released, including what substance allegedly left Howard feeling impaired. Troopers said that he was driving the 2001 Ford Ranger when it crossed into the center line on State Road 40, a straight but somewhat hilly two-lane road that passes through horse farms. The truck sideswiped the bus, causing it to veer off the road at about 6:40 in the morning. It crashed through a fence and into a tree before overturning. In addition to the 8 that were killed, 40 more were injured. It wasn't immediately known if Howard had an attorney, and no phone numbers for the family members could be found. According to the state records, Howard has had previous arrests for driving with a suspended license, leaving the scene of an accident, and marijuana possession. The accident happened in Marion County, about 80 miles north of Orlando. The workers have been headed to Cannon Farms in Dunnelton, which has been harvesting watermelons. The bus ended up on its side with its window smashed and its rear emergency door and top hatch open. The truck came to a stop at the side of the road with its airbag blown and extensive damage that was caused to the driver's side. In other news, we're going to go down to Baltimore for the continuing coverage of the Francis Scott Key Bridge disaster. Federal investigators, they learned and told the media that the Dolly cargo ship apparently experienced electrical blackouts about 10 hours before it left the port of Baltimore, and yet again shortly before it slammed into the bridge and killed those 6 construction workers. These details provide, of course, the most detailed account yet of the tragedy. The first power outage occurred after a crew member mistakenly closed an exhaust damper while conducting maintenance, causing one of the ship's diesel engines to stall, according to investigators with the National Transportation Safety Board in their preliminary report. Shortly after leaving Baltimore on the 26th of March, the ship crashed into one of the bridge's support columns because another power outage caused it to lose its steering and propulsion at the worst exact moment. This report, it provides new details about how the ship's crew addressed the power issues it experienced while it was still docked in Baltimore. A full investigation, according to the safety board, could take up to a year or more. And testing of the ship's fuel did not reveal any concerns related to its quality, according to the report. To the trial of the former president we go now in Manhattan, where Michael Cohen admitted on the witness stand yesterday to ripping Donald Trump as a, quote, dictator douchebag and, quote, a Cheeto-dusted cartoon villain who belongs in a cage. As the ex-president's lawyers tried to paint his former fixer as a self-serving turncoat who's out for revenge. Defense attorney Todd Blanche asked Cohen during 2 hours of often fiery cross-examination, quote, did you call Trump a boorish cartoon misogynist and a Cheeto-dusted cartoon villain on your podcast? Cohen coolly said from the stand, just 15 away from Trump, his eyes leaning back with his eyes closed at the defense table, quote, sounds like something I would say. The exchanges, they came as Trump's attorneys took aim at Cohen's credibility near the end of this month-long trial in which the presumptive GOP nominee is charged with fudging his company's records to hide the $130,000 hush money payment to Stormy Daniels. Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg's prosecution is hinging on the jurors believing that Cohen paid Daniels at Trump's behest to silence his story. To silence her story about having sex with the real estate mogul on the eve of the election in 2016, and that Trump had the intent to hide a damaging scandal from the voters. And finally, we're going to go down to Cape Canaveral in Florida, where the sun produced its biggest flare in nearly two decades yesterday. Just days, of course, after those severe solar storms pummeled the Earth and created dazzling northern lights in the most unaccustomed of places. NOAA announced in an update, quote, not done yet. It's the biggest flare of this 11-year solar cycle, which is approaching its peak, according to NOAA. The good news is that the Earth should be out of the line of fire this time because the flare erupted on a part of the sun that's rotating away from the Earth. NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory captured the bright flash of the X-ray flare. It was the strongest since 2005. Rated on the scale for these flares is X8.7. Brian Basher at NOAA's Space Weather Prediction Center in Boulder, Colorado, say that it may turn out to have even stronger when scientists gather the data from other sources. It follows nearly a week of flares and mass ejections of coronal plasma that threaten to disrupt power and communications on the Earth and in its orbit. An ejection associated with the flare yesterday happened to have been directed away from our planet. It might have been directed away from the planet, though the analysis, according to Brasher, it's still ongoing. I'm not sure if you're a fan of roller coasters, you might like this one, and if you're afraid of heights like I am, you might not. Because the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch roller coaster, it was forced to shut down indefinitely, just days after it opened. And we'll tell you about it because your honorable mention is next, when the update with Brianna Julian continues.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Tom and Levi, Tom is the smartest man I know. He's been a professor at two major universities. He's been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, he told me that he was having problems in his classes. I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. And he was telling them that he was doing it as a favor to them, but I think in reality, he just wanted to get out of there. I was really starting to worry because I saw something was wrong.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me, and my love for him was just immense.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
It's news for New Yorkers who never stop moving. This is the update with Brandon Juliet, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Wednesday, everyone. Another hump day in the month of May for us around here, as we mark ourselves ever so closer to Memorial Day weekend, just a week and a half out now. So the anticipation continues to build. Many people are ready to start the summer of 2024, and I think I am too. My partner Tommy and I can't stop talking about it. Thanks so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. You know, I think this story will have to relate to the summer, because there's just enough time left today, of course, folks, for your honorable mention. And many people out there, they are fans of roller coasters. I personally am not a fan of roller coasters. Like, I remember when I went to Six Flags, Great Adventure, when I was still at Kingsborough, we went to Six Flags as a trip. And I got out, I think it was one roller coaster the entire time we were there, and I couldn't stop laughing. I thought I was going to have a panic attack. So if I barely survived that, you don't expect me to get up there on King to Ka or something like that. Or heck, even last summer when we were at Coney Island for my job for a trip, a couple of the staff decided to go on the slingshot. You can't, like, you couldn't make me do that either. Not even at fucking gunpoint. So imagine, as a person who has a moderate fear of heights, like, I can get on an airplane and fly, or I can go to the top of a skyscraper. Well, it depends on the skyscraper. But apparently, this ride was too cool to even function. The world's tallest and fastest triple-launch roller coaster apparently was forced to shut down indefinitely just days after its grand opening. The Top Thrill 2 takes guests along three high-speed launches between two 420-foot-tall towers, with the top speeds reaching 120 miles per hour. Cedar Point Amusement Park in Sandusky, Ohio, opened this past weekend, actually, on the 4th, for the 2024 season, welcoming guests on the highly anticipated coaster for the first time until it shut down on Mother's Day on the 12th. The Top Thrill 2 coaster is, quote, apparently, according to the park on social media, quote, experiencing an extended closure as the ride's manufacturer completes a mechanical modification. Once the completion is complete, Zamperla, the Cedar Point maintenance and operations teams, and our third-party ride inspection partner, will conduct a thorough review before approving both of the modification and the reopening of the ride. Cedar Point said that it can confirm when the ride will reopen, but it will provide updates to all the thrill seekers. The brand new thrill ride replaced the original Top Thrill Dragster, the world's second tallest roller coaster, which has been closed for the last 3 years, since 2021, after a piece of the ride came off and seriously injured a 44-year-old woman. The 420-foot-high roller coaster which reached speeds of 120 miles per hour, closed on August 15th, 2021, when 45-year-old Rachel Hawes of Swartz Creek, Michigan, sustained severe brain injuries caused by a flying L-shaped piece of metal about the size of a human hand that was dislodged from one of the trains. Hawes was waiting in line to board the roller coaster. She was rushed to a hospital in Toledo for treatment and later filed a lawsuit. Adrenaline junkies who were not deterred by the incident have been anxiously awaiting the reopening of the Top Thrill 2, but now we'll have to wait even longer to feel the rush. According to the park in the statement, they said, quote, "We know our guests are excited to experience this incredible roller coaster, and we share your disappointment that we were not able to operate it this weekend. We will do everything possible to reopen Top Thrill 2 as soon as we are confident we can deliver the ride experience that our guests deserve." And you know what? Good luck for them for prioritizing safety over, you know, personal ride demand. I'm going to let you guys ponder on this as we say in the words of Walter Cronkite. That's the way it is. Wednesday, May the 15th, 2024. That is the update on this Wednesday. I'm Brandon Julian. We really appreciate you being here with us. In the next episode of My Favorite Episode series, we're going to go to the end of year number one of this program, which I know was a very long, long time ago. And we are going to celebrate the show's first anniversary. We're going to talk about that on Saturday. That is this Saturday, wherever you listen, of course, to this podcast. So until the next time we get together, in the words, of course, of Roger Grimsby, Bill Butel, hopefully that your news, folks, will be good news. Thanks so much for joining me today. Good luck, be safe, and most importantly, please be well. We're marching ever so closer to Memorial Day weekend. We'll talk about that and a lot more, too, on the next edition of The Update tomorrow. See you then.